Jack Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, more of Tim Riley. We have the top five CNN radio correspondent, Jim Roop, Tom Likas, Don and Mike. It's the worst song you've ever heard, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. CNN radio correspondent live in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, Steve. How are you, sir?
All right. Coming to you live from the campus of Duke University today.
Fantastic. All right. So, I was just watching. I was flipping by the news this morning. I was just doing a little channel surfing. I was multitasking and just the reading and watching TV and all this stuff going on. And I only caught a little bit of this, so I'm not exactly sure what I was seeing. But it looked like it was a press conference or at least an interview being done with one of the mothers of one of these kids that have been accused in this Duke rape case. Am I right about that? Has one of the kids' mom been given some press conferences?
I wouldn't call it at all a press conference, but she did give some reporters press availability. It wasn't exactly a full open press conference, but there have been so many requests from reporters to talk to the family members directly that I guess she felt it was time now to give some of them the opportunity to do that.
Well, there's some blood in the water. No one has ever been more screwed than this Mike Nifon guy. He is more hosed than anybody who has ever been hosed. Let's take these things one at a time. A, is the state itself, or is the government, is North Carolina or the federal government going to pursue any charges against this guy?
Well, the problem with this case as it refers to him is that here in North Carolina, they just recently instituted a law, or they're in the process, actually, of instituting a law that will make it easier for the government, the governor, to remove judges and district attorneys who do things that are questionable, who are guilty of official misconduct or ethics violations. But Michael Nifon was accused of this, faces an ethics probe that evolved before that law was even considered.
Right.
So as a result, he has to be judged under the old rules, and that means he's judged by his peers. The North Carolina bar essentially will put together a panel and will hear his case. In fact, he has a preliminary hearing tomorrow.
What are we to make of the fact that they have sealed, or at least not publicly revealed, the reasons for not pursuing charges against this woman who fabricated this story about these three guys?
Yeah, well, the Attorney General really was trying to tiptoe around that issue of her mental stability. Apparently, the accuser has a history of mental problems. We're not exactly sure what those are, how serious they are, but he sort of intimated that she just wasn't in a perfect state of mind, and therefore it wouldn't be right at this point, at least, to pursue any charges against her. In fact, she still wanted to go ahead with the prosecution.
It's funny how there's millions and millions and millions of people in this country who have various mental illnesses of one kind or another, yet most of them manage to avoid filing false gang-raping charges.
You know, I'm sure I've got something as a result of my parents, so don't we all, you know?
The whole thing just puts such a bad taste in your mouth. So the next step for these kids, because this has been going on for what, like a year and a half, 2 years, something like that?
Over 390 days.
390 yeah. days. So what is the next step for these kids? Were they still all enrolled at the school? Had they gone elsewhere? I mean, where were they in their lives when this all happened, and what are they going to do now?
Well, none of them were on the team anymore. They were all removed from the team pending the investigation. At least one of them had expressed interest in returning to the school, but it doesn't look like that is very realistic at this point. One of them is done with school, and another one is actually coaching lacrosse at a high school at his home on Long Island. It's extremely difficult for these kids to move on because, as they said yesterday, you know, they cannot escape this, and no matter how many times you say they're innocent, you Google their names and millions of articles come up referring to them as the men who allegedly attacked this stripper at a party off campus here at Duke. So this is going to follow them for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, if I was these kids, I would, you know, you'd have to print out some, you have to print out the CNN.com story where they reveal that you are, in fact, innocent and laminate it and make sure you keep it in your back pocket at all times, because you know that every time your name comes up in conversation, every time you go on a date, every time you go on a job interview, the first thing anybody's going to see is that you were accused of being part of a gang rape of some woman somewhere. And, you know, as you're right, it just totally just stains you forever.
Yeah, and it's interesting because, you know, their pictures are everywhere. The accuser, in cases like this, as we always do, we never mention their name because it involves an allegation of sexual assault. So,
except
you know, we protect
now,
women in instances like that.
Is that still the case now when she clearly wasn't the victim of sexual assault in any way, shape, or form?
Well, we here at CNN are staying away from revealing her name, and most of our colleagues at other networks are doing the same, only because she is still claiming that she was the victim of some sort of an assault at this party. So at this point, you know, we our policy is, and we've had meetings about this every day, that we're not going to reveal her name. A few other networks, some local stations have revealed her name. The defense attorney for one of these three young men has had no problem mentioning her name many times in the public. But, you know, we're just sticking to our guns on this one for now.
And I can claim that I'm the fifth Beatle, but it doesn't necessarily make it so, my friend. So, all right. Final question. I know you're really busy, but what is a big, broad, vague journalistic question. What is the tenor or tone, the feeling in that town right now? What is the general sort of feeling in the air, if you can sum it up?
I'm glad to ask you that because that's what I did all day today. I spent several hours on the campus of Duke and then in the surrounding community and on the block where the party took place over a year ago. On the campus, the students are almost unanimous in their belief that this was the right decision. There is a tremendous sense of relief on the campus. The local university newspaper has the word innocent splashed across the front page. There are a lot of students demanding an apology from a group of faculty and staff members who were very vocal at the beginning of this case and protested outside the Duke Lacrosse house, and some of them holding up signs calling for the castration of these young men, and then lumping in all college athletes in their protests, saying that they had to go, that they were irresponsible, and a detriment to the campus. Students are calling for those faculty members to step up to the plate and apologize. But then you get out into the neighborhood here today, and even amongst some of the brightest people who live around here, there's still a belief that something wrong, something illegal had to have happened in that house, and there just couldn't have been absolutely nothing that didn't require further investigation in a court of law by a jury. There's a belief here because they say this house and many other houses in the neighborhood where students rent rooms during the school year are the site of many loud off-campus parties where there is a blatant, just disregard for the people in the community and for some laws, for public decency laws and such. And they've lived with this for many years, so because of that, they just can't believe that nothing illegal went on that night. And they think that, this went from one extreme to another, and they seem to feel that there should be something in between there.
All right. Well, I think that this is going to kind of fade into the rearview mirror pretty quickly, and I'm sure that that's everybody. Most of the people involved with this case are probably glad that that is the case. So
yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. The Michael Nifong aspect to this is going to cause a lot of public attention on this story for some time to come. But once that has reached some sort of culmination, then hopefully these kids will be able to move on with their lives.
Yeah, if I was that guy, I'd be looking into getting a shack in Iceland somewhere.
He's been very low-key today. We
really
haven't heard hide or hair from him.
That's hard to believe. I'd be researching extradition treaties if I were him right now and then booking a cruise ship immediately. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Steve Kastenbaum, thank you, my friend.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Steve Kastenbaum in North Carolina. There you go. Fantastic. 503-733. This whole world's just gone crazy this week. It's 503-733-2970. So Rick Emerson radio program. What are all these emails? Rick, a lot of emails. The listener party's one week from tonight. Tonight is the 1 week mark. Next Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m., Barracuda, Rick Emerson listener party 10. Rick, is there a cover charge to the listener party? No. The only price is that of your imagination. Let's see. Also, about the night that you closed, I got so much email about this. The night that you closed your eyes and then woke up seconds later to find that it was morning. That was the night everybody has said the same thing, by the way. It's all the same punchline. Hasn't Clyde told you that's the night you were abducted by aliens? Because I guess that's what happens when people claim that they're abducted by aliens. That's what they compare it to. It's like a big whack of the film in your head is just gone. By the way, oh, this is, she works at Cinema 21. By the way, we are getting that movie, Zoo, at Cinema 21 in May. Zoo is the movie that has the story about that pinion guy in Enumclaw that was having relations with a stallion when it all,
ew,
when it all went horribly wrong, when the rubber hit the road. Anyway, so there you go. 503-733-2970. Rick, about Anna Nicole Smith, if you were writing a biography about a family member that you love and claim to love, would you make the title of the book Trainwreck? Just food for thought.
See, I had read that this girl hadn't even met Anna Nicole Smith.
Well, I don't... It's so hard to keep track of that family of hers. Just a big... Just a big group of inbred rednecks. I mean, it's really... You do need, like, an Excel spreadsheet to try to figure out her relations there.
Yeah.
Rick, September 2022, that will be when Daniel Lynn Burkhead takes it off in Playboy. You know it's true, and you know you look, it's totally true. Apple didn't fall far from the infected tree, my friend. Let's see, what else do we have here? This is about, Rick, about the listening booth. At Listener Party 10, next Thursday, April 19th, we're going to have a listening booth where you can hear sections of this radio program from years past, days past, some of our highlights, some of our lowlights. It says by, let's see, I want to hear the Richard Cheese interview, and by interview I don't mean any interview, I mean the last Richard Cheese interview that he did. It was a radio classic. I don't remember anything about that. I mean,
when he had him on the air?
Yeah, but we've done that several times. The last time we had that guy in the studio must have been before that horrible listener party in La Centra that we don't speak of. That must have been it.
Yeah.
Because we crammed him into that studio at Entercom. That must be it, but I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah, I guess it was.
It must be. I don't remember anything about it. Rick, do you need a Cinco de Drinco t-shirt for the museum? I think we do have one of those. But if they were Party Gras shirts, we haven't been able to find one of those. We have not been able to find a Party Gras shirt. I'm just answering all these listener party emails. Then we'll break here in a few. We'll come back with more from Tim, etc. This email says, what about schoolgirls, Rick? Are you handing out prizes to people who come dressed as schoolgirls again at this party? Probably not prizes. We do encourage women to do that. It's not required, of course, but we do encourage women to do that. But I'm not sure that we're going to be doing prizes this time. Rick, about time for Timer. All I remember is him telling me to carefully put toothpicks through plastic. I totally remember that. The Time for Timer guy had this whole thing he would do about telling you how to make, and it was just like these really bad, like low-budget white trash popsicles. Presumed that this was, so clearly it was all just targeted at really poor children, where it's like you would just fill an ice cream, like an ice cube tray with orange juice, and then you would cover it with saran wrap and toothpicks and blah, blah, blah. Rick, here's the hanker for a hunk of cheese video. Let me see. So somebody has sent this to me. This is from Todd, who sent this to me. This is the Time for Timer, Hankering for a Hunk of Cheese song. This is courtesy of YouTube, which is where all good things come from now. So, we still don't have any agreement, by the way, on exactly what this guy was. Let me wait for this to load here. In the meantime, Rick, this says, I remember the Timer guy, and I believe Timer came from a cartoon movie called Me and My Arrow, about a little boy and his dog Arrow, and he met this guy in a weird world somewhere. Maybe somebody else knows more. It was back in the 70s. I think, this is from Sarah in Lake Oswego, I think that you're confusing that with something entirely different. This guy says, Rick, about time for Timer. You see, this is the thing, Sarah, this is like you and the I'm so excited, I'm so scared soundbite from Saved by the Bell. The Time for Timer thing, I know that you have no idea what I'm talking about. And there's probably a good chunk of the audience right now that doesn't know what I'm talking about, but will immediately flash back onto it as soon as I play this YouTube video. I'm just getting all this email about it. Rick, are you confusing Time for Timer with Yuck Mouth, who is a strange-looking character telling kids to brush their teeth? And the other cartoon that took you on a tour through the human body. Thanks, Carol. Now, see, that's another thing. There was three... Now we're talking about three different Saturday morning interstitial segments, and they're all getting confused. Is my computer up?
Yep.
Let me see if I can play this here. Ladies and gentlemen, please to be,
My name, my name. Get that hungry feeling after school? Boy, I do. I'm so hungry, I could eat a wagon wheel. When I'm slow on the draw and I need something to chaw, I hanker for a hunk of cheese.
Now, here's the thing. I know that this pegs me as being really old, but you can go up to almost anybody of my age, anybody in my generation, and use the phrase hanker for a hunk of cheese, and they all kind of know what you're talking about. They all recognize it. They all know the phrase, even if they can't really adequately define or narrow down or pin where it came from. I'm watching this video right now, incidentally, as we speak, and not only is he not a stopwatch, he's also not an egg, nor is he an eggplant, nor is he a baseball, which are all things that people have suggested he was. So, I'm going to continue. This is the Time for Timer video.
When my 10-gallon hats are feeling 5 gallons flat, I got something flat, which is little cheese sandwiches. Come on! Here's a great little snack to tide you over till dinner. If you want something delicious and nutritious, cheese is a super snack. Look, a wagon wheel.
The wagon wheel, by the way, is a slice of cheese between two crackers. The really depressing thing about this is that these little cartoons from Timer telling you how to eat, A, his solution for your hunger is just to fill yourself full of fat, because that's what cheese is, first of all. You hanker for a hunk of fat is basically what you're hankering for there. And secondly, the notion that this Time for Timer thing had to exist is because there were no parents around. That's what's so depressing. And I know I'm overthinking it, but these are kind of creepy and depressing when you think about these were all needed, because these played during the week, too. These were all needed because, demographically speaking, they just knew the kids who were watching this probably had no parents at home when they were watching this. So it's all kind of creepy.
When my get up and go has got up and went, anchor for a hunk of cheese. When I'm dancing a hold down in my boots kind of slow down, or any time I'm weak in the knees. I hanker for a hunk of, a slab or slice of chunk of, a snack of these a winner, and yet won't spoil my dinner. I hanker for a hunk of cheese. Yahoo!
God damn, I'm old. All right, so there you go. So there's that. By the way, at the risk of opening up the whole can of worms about McGruff and McGraw, the crime dog, and whatever, that's not the... That's not the definitive Timer voice there. That's somebody else doing the voice of Timer. Later on, they found a different voice actor. It's 503-733-2970. There we go. We'll bring down the curtain on a segment that... really? Okay. It's 503-733-2970. Take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley around the corner. Then the top five. Later on, we'll talk to Jim Roof. More talk about Listener Party 10, which happens 1 week from tonight. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up in just a few, we'll talk to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Jim Roop, live from Los Angeles. The top five. Scotty J. Oh, we got a great... Hey, Tim, is this from you, this Alice Cooper thing?
Yes, it is.
That's fantastic. This is the best thing that's happened to me all week. Well, that's probably not true, but this is pretty great. I have been trying for the longest time. I mean, for years and years, I have attempted to get an interview with Alice Cooper. And so Tim has actually, Jim gave me a press release from his publicity company. Because he's going to be out and about pimping. He's got this book about being a golfer, which is... Golfer, I barely knew her. I don't have the energy to reach for the thing. He's got this whole book, because, you know, the thing about Alice Cooper is he's a golf fanatic. I mean, he's been a golf fanatic since the 70s. And he gets some massive handicap, like an 8 or a 4 or a 1 or whatever it is. It's some great handicap. But so he's put out this book about being a golfer, which might actually be our one shot at getting him on the program. Fantastic. I'll give this to Scotty. Thank you, Tim Riley. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, here's your president, your prophet, your seer, and revelator,
I barely knew her.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth,
revelator,
is Tim Riley.
All right, we have some breaking news. A dead body has been found in Washington Park. We don't know very much more about it, except for the fact that it is dead.
Is Washington Park up
to the Rose Garden?
North? Oh, wait, no. What am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the one, what's that park by PGE Park?
PGE?
You know,
that's PGE Park.
Okay.
Where they play baseball there? And
miss me? The family car. Okay, where is Washington Park?
It's a big park where the Rose Garden is, and you go there, you're on the way to the zoo.
The zoo is at that way.
Right. That's next to where Washington Park is.
The Rose Garden and the zoo are nowhere near each other.
I didn't say you're thinking of the Rose Garden where concerts are played.
Yes.
The actual Rose Garden where flowers grow.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Then you don't know where Washington Park is.
I'm lost. I'm in the tall grass. I'm in the weeds. Someone help me.
Washington Park is where the actual Rose Garden is, where people grow roses in a garden. It's not far from the zoo.
I don't understand what we're talking about.
Or the Chinese garden.
Who?
The Japanese garden.
What garden?
The Rose Garden.
Okay. Before we take another step here, who grows roses in this garden?
People who take care of the roses. There are several individuals and groups who grow roses. It is an experimental rose garden.
This is out toward the zoo.
Yeah.
Washington Park.
Washington Park. Yep, big hill.
I guess you could spot it because of the dead body.
And the reservoir is there. And you can see deer running around.
All right.
Lots of livestock. There are swings there if you want to go play on the swings and whatnot.
Vultures.
Lots of woods, walking trails, jogging trails.
Black crows. All right. Anyway, so what is the nature of the dead body?
The fact that it is now lifeless.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a CBS News breaking story. All right.
That would be the nature of a dead body, would it not be?
I guess what I'm saying is, I mean, is it a homeless person? Is this, do we know anything about the
I would assume that they'd be homeless.
I guess now.
Nice.
Well, the home is personless. Never mind. We're just going to move forward. I can't really seem to make myself clear on this issue. So until we know more.
So the problem is, you want to know where Washington Park is.
I've moved past that problem. Yeah. I now have larger problems, such as I can't seem to put prepositions and adverbs.
Well, the good part is, you'll never stumble across a dead body.
Well, how would I know? I don't know where Washington... I could live next door to Washington Park.
No, you do not live next door to Washington Park.
I'm just saying.
It's up on a big hill.
I'm just saying,
you live where it's flat.
I'm just saying, how would I know, since I don't really know anything about Washington Park?
It's on the west side.
All right.
You can take a bus up there, too.
I'm so done with this. The length of time that we've spent is so wildly disproportionate to my interest in the story at this point.
Well, let's talk about something else.
Let's talk about the living. Life is for the living, Tim.
Well, unfortunately, if you gargle with Listerine, Glacier Mint, or Bubble Blast, you may not be among the living. Listerine is recalling one of its rinses after a test show, and it's contaminated with microorganisms. I bet they're buying these from China. Johnson & Johnson spokeswoman said the company is recalling 4 million bottles of the recently launched Listerine Agent Cool Blue.
That's what you get for buying something called Agent Cool Blue, by the way.
It's supposed to be cool. It's supposed to get kids to get interested in using Listerine.
not gonna happen.
So you're advised to stop buying this, or just plain throw it away.
If you're Scott Daly, leave it outside where someone can walk by and pick it up and use it and die, and their next of kin can sue you.
So it's contaminated.
Yeah, don't
even. Instead, have a little pet food. Oh, maybe not. Because some of the painted pet food...
painted pet food. That's the kind they have that in Vietnam. Painted pet food. Come on, that's funny. That's a double pun.
It is. So it's
I love this show. I love everything about it. I really do.
So this pet food is going to remain on store shelves, which is helpful to everyone.
At this time, we have no evidence whatsoever that any of the affected wheat gluten has gotten into the human food supply, and that's been consistent throughout the investigation. However, we are continuing to investigate and confirm the safety of human and pet food. We are leaving no stone unturned.
Okay.
Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois said the overall system of food is broken.
What disturbs me about this incident is that it confirms yet again that pet food as well as human food is at risk because of the gaps in the system of regulation and inspections that govern our food industry in America today. There are significant health implications to this broken system.
Now, this guy's running for somebody, but nobody cares. The phrase human food is kind of weird to me when people say that. Don't give him human food. I don't know why that phrase bugs me. It's like, here's the thing that kids say sometimes, and people think it's cute. kids will call the supermarket the food store. And I know adults who do that, too. My friend Robin used to do that. She used to say, yeah, we're going to go to the food store. That just sounds weird. The food store sounds like something that Balky would have said on Perfect Strangers. You know? All right. So, there you go. Balky. Balky.
You're really dating yourself. None of these people have been in the business for years.
No, that's all I can do. Well, I've been talking about making time for timer jokes. At least Balky was within the last 15 years. Or was it? No, it wasn't. Boy, that was 20 years ago. Sarah didn't even know who Balky is.
Of course I do.
It's back, it's back in the Nanu days.
The, you know, how do you know how Balky is? And don't say, of course, like it's just known. I have no idea what you know and what you don't.
That's our back.
Somebody, we always threaten to do this, but we never have, to give you a comprehensive pop culture SAT, to should not to make you feel, you know, weird or out of touch or whatever. There's a lot of stuff I don't know. Just to get a read. Yeah, just to get a read. Because it's impossible for me to predict what you know and don't know. That's the thing. Like with me, like with anybody, I think you can look at a person's age, talk to them for a while, and kind of get a general read on what they will know and what they don't. You, though, it's just so scattershot. I can just never nail down what you're going to know and what you're not. Like the fact that you wouldn't know Gilligan's Island, the theme song, but that you would know who Balky is just doesn't make any sense to me. Just violates all the laws of nature and man. Is this true that Agent Cool Blue is the does anybody know the gimmick with Listerine Agent Cool Blue?
I don't use it. I use the old-fashioned green kind.
Yeah, you know, that real, that original Listerine, that'll mess you up. You don't want to swallow that either. I've done that by mistake a time or two in my life. You know, the thing about that original Listerine is you can clean anything with that. They don't tell you that. You can clean countertops
like
with that
silver
stuff. Kitchen. Kitchen floor. Driveway. The thing about Listerine Agent Cool Blue is it's that thing where it lights up the plaque on your teeth. Like if you squish it around in your mouth and then you turn off the lights and go, ah, and open your teeth, and, you know,
clench, like it's radioactive.
Clench your teeth. It probably is.
It's made in Kennewick.
The plaque on your teeth will light up in the middle, in the dark. That's kind of cool. It's like those pills the dentist would give you that you chew
the little
up.
Little red pills?
Oh, those taste like ass, though.
Oh, they do.
The worst tasting things on earth.
Ask for them by name. Meanwhile, TriMet unveiled its new budget. It includes a 5-cent fare increase. It's outrageous. We found out where Carl Rove is staying tomorrow. It's got to be Embassy Suites in Tigard. Why not stop by and say hello?
Be polite.
It's a Republican fundraiser.
Fundraiser?
I barely knew her.
Let's talk to Frank on the Never Gets Old. Frank on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
What's up?
Not much. Do you remember that old, I don't remember if it was part of the cartoons, but you remember that guy that would say, "Don't drown your food"?
Yes, yes, the "Don't drown your food" guy. I totally remember.
Tomato, ketchup, and goo.
Yeah, I totally remember him.
He was real fun and whatever. Yeah, you remember that?
He was about proper condiment use.
Yeah.
Yes, not proper condom use, but yeah.
About Sarah, I don't know what cartoons she knows about, but you know, you could ask her about cartoons of the day, see what she knows about cartoons, like Lino's phrase of what he says when he gets the sword.
Oh,
from Thundercats.
Oh, wait, now see, Thundercats is one of those things that my generation knows about, but I specifically, I'm saying for me now, I don't have very much Thundercats knowledge, my own self.
Really?
All I know about, listen to the disdain he suddenly has for me.
No disdain.
All I know about Thundercats is that outtake that goes around the net of them cursing when they blow the take. Thundercats, I don't really know. Thundar the Barbarian? I know.
Thundar's cool.
I'm all down with Thundar the Barbarian.
Yeah.
And his horse, Ookla, or whatever the hell its name was.
Ookla was the big guy.
All right. Okay.
The Mock, Ookla the Mock, and whatever.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Do you remember this, Rick Emerson?
Defender of the Secrets of
Castle Grayskull. That's, he meant
this is Fringer.
Oh, he was. You know, the thing about Adam is he was a pretty man.
The day I held aloft my magic.
He was. I didn't realize he was a little pageboy haircut.
He is. I believe that the interior of Castle Grayskull is fashionably decorated. I believe that there are any number of. I believe there are any number of throw pillows scattered around the interior. And he's
I love his little
pink.
Bondage outfit.
He's dressed in pink.
He's not wearing pink. It's silver with a pink
Adam
top.
Isn't dressed in pink. When
well,
he's Adam
is.
Adam is
not
dressed
He-Man.
In pink, and then when he transforms into He-Man, let's just call it, he looks like a Letterman. I mean, there's just no getting around that. That's just the fact. And he has a secret.
Orko.
And Castle Grayskull from the evil Masters of the Universe.
fantastic.
Man, I remember watching that, and it was the Smurfs and then He-Man.
Well, let's think of, I mean, I don't mean to be overthinking things, because I'm sometimes accused of overthinking the trivial and stupid. But here's the thing about Adam, is that Adam has a page boy haircut, wears a lot of pink, and has a secret. A secret that is only revealed by when, by... His secret is revealed when he pulls out his long, hard sword.
Okay.
I'm telling you. And what am I saying that's inaccurate? He holds it aloft, and then he becomes a greased-up leather man, just wearing, like, less than an ounce of clothing. I mean, come on. Let's all speak as adults here.
Are you like one of those people who's an advocate that thinks Papa Smurf was a pimp? And
I'm not. I never. No one thinks that. No one thinks Papa
My
Smurf was a pimp.
My parents would let her watch it.
Because Papa Smurf was a pimp?
Because Smurfette was the only girl, and he thought that they thought she was a pimp. Or he.
They were all going to be taking turns gang raping Smurfette. I don't understand.
Gargamel.
Does that go any louder?
No, I can't get it.
Well, it's okay. It all works out on the air, but.
Oh, I love this. Did you watch the Smurfs or Rachel?
Yeah, no, I watched the Smurfs. All right. First of all, Papa Smurf is not a pimp.
We've all seen Donnie Darko.
He's a pimp in the sense that, like, he's a pimp in the sense that he runs things with a firm hand, but he's not a pimp in the sense that he is turning her out on the street to buy Smurf berries. And I don't really understand. I don't really remember. And don't tell me, because I don't want to unconsciously steal it. I don't really remember what the Smurfs conversation was in Donnie Darko. I know that they talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really remember what it was. I will say this though, that I do make. They do make reference in Donnie Darko to the fact that Smurfette was created by Gargamel. To screw with the Smurfs. That was the thing, is Gargamel couldn't find a way...
to be Gargamel's evil spy.
Yeah, it really is kind of an interesting social commentary. I know I'm officially overthinking the stupid. But the only way Gargamel could find to disrupt the Smurfs, because it was a whole male society. It's like a complete society of men, presumably sexless men, in blue. And you can read whatever you want into that.
Oh,
they're
man.
All walking around blue. And he creates Smurfette, who originally had black hair, by the way. Smurfette originally had black hair. And I swear to God, this is absolutely true. And people who watched the Smurfs will remember this. This, I really am in my wheelhouse right now. This is just, I am right here. You have just tossed me just the biggest softball, just the biggest alley-oop right across the plate softball. The thing about Smurfette is she originally had black hair. Gargamel created her in a cauldron, and the final ingredient to create Smurfette was, quote, the hardest stone, and the hardest stone for her heart. That was the final ingredient. He sent her into the village, and I swear to Christ, this is absolutely true. Smurfette introduced herself to one of the Smurfs, and I forget who, it might have been Brainy, but she... God damn, we're stupid. Introduced herself to one of the Smurfs by saying, hi there, like thrusting out like one of her hips with her hand on it, saying, hi there, like what you see. That's how Smurfette introduced himself to one of the male Smurfs. I remember watching it when I was a kid. And my mom was in the room. My mom is sitting right there. Here's Smurfette, and she's in like one of her fetching little dresses. And why does she have a whole closet? They're all the same.
Are they white?
All little white dresses. She has a whole closet.
How do you even notice that she has different little white dresses?
Because
who remembers that?
Because I wanted to be as pretty as she was, Sarah.
Not as pretty as Vanity?
good one. Smurfette has a whole closet full of little white dresses. They're all exactly the same. They're all the same dress. Whole closet full.
You have a whole closet full of black t-shirts.
Shut up!
Why do you need a closet full of them?
Because different!
Okay, do you remember this show?
Come along with the snort.
Yes! They had the little horns on their heads.
The little circles.
The little things that, yeah, it was like a periscope on their head. From the creator of the Smurfs. Is this a quiz? Are you going to be quizzing me with the animated television intros?
Oh, you know what? I'd like to, but all the shows say the name of them.
Well, that's okay. I can probably spot them. Like, I can probably spot it before the lyrics even kick in.
Oh, man.
Anyway, but I have to finish this. So Smurfette is sending to the Smurf village. She says, "Hi, boy, like what you see," to like one of the Smurfs. And Papa Smurf does something. He waves some magic. He waves some mojo. And then he turns her good. And when she turns good, it's like the most heavy-handed symbolism. Her hair goes blonde instead of black. Blah, 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 blah. I wish we had... Hey, Scotty, do we have a prize? Do we have an onion book to give away? We do. Okay. I will give now, and I'm writing down the answer. Hold on. I'm writing down the answer, and I don't think they discussed this in Donnie Darko. If they do, and if they do, screw Donnie Darko, because I had this conversation when I was in ninth grade on a debate trip. One time, my friend Wyeth and I had this discussion on a debate trip. I have now written down here, and it's a two-word answer, the form of government that the Smurfs have. Sarah, don't say it out loud. That's the form of government the Smurfs operate under.
I wouldn't know that.
I will accept.
They don't discuss that.
I'll accept the latter half of this answer. I will now give a copy of The Onion's Destined for Destiny, the autobiography of George W. Bush, to the first person. We'll take like 10 calls, see if anybody can get it. The first person who, in my estimation, and in my sole estimation only, can correctly identify for me the form of government under which the Smurfs operate. I'm going to do
how
that do right
you,
now.
Never mind. I don't want to know.
What?
I don't even know how you know that.
Because we were sexless, because we were teen virgins on a debate trip. And what else are we going to do? Really, what else are you going to do on a debate trip but discuss the nature of government that the Smurfs have? It's 503-733-2970.
Should I take us to break with another old song?
Let's see if I can nail it
okay.
here. All right. Bring it on. This is that Beverly Hills Teens.
Here in the land of love, they're having quite the fun. Cause every single thing is really two in one. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. And when you add it up, you get a lot of laughs. Ooh, they got originality. Rhythm with the personality.
The Wuzzles. I remember them existing, but I don't know that I never watched it. Oh, are we going to this? Okay, ladies and gentlemen, Sarah, let's drop this. Let's now go to the CBS News Desk with breaking news. Ladies and gentlemen, here is Tim Riley.
Ladies and gentlemen, a news bulletin. This from Les Nunez. A letter to all employees. I want to inform you that we have decided to cease broadcasting the Imus in the Morning radio show effective immediately on a permanent basis. We reached this decision after a period of thought, discussion, listening to you, and the pursuit of due process in this painful manner. From the outset, I believe all of us have been deeply upset and revulsed by the comments that were made on the air about young women who represented Rutgers University in the NAAC Women's Basketball Championship with such class, energy, and talent. Well, we have already made our disappointment and outrage clear. I would like to take the opportunity to offer my personal apologies to the Rutgers team, its impressive coach, its entire athletic department, and administration of Rutgers University. CBS has nothing but the highest regard for the establishment and its students, and we are sorry that offense was given in such a brutal and insensitive manner. I would also like to extend an apology to everyone beyond Rutgers. Those who have spoken to us in the past few days represent people of goodwill from all segments of our society, all races, economic groups, men and women alike. In our meetings with concerned groups, there has been much discussion of the effect language like this has on our young people, particularly women of color trying to make their way in society. That consideration has weighed most heavily in our minds as we made our decisions, and has the many emails, phone calls, and personal discussions we have had with our colleagues across the CBS Corporation and many other constituencies. At the same time, we want to take the time necessary to listen to the many diverse voices that have raised this issue. In doing so, we've been trying to do as best as possible in a complex and emotional environment to determine which is indeed the right thing to do. I believe that in taking this action, we are doing the right thing. Many of you have come forward during the past week to share your thoughts and feelings. I thank you for that. At the end of the day, the integrity of our company and the respect that you feel for CBS becomes the most important consideration. One thing is for certain. This is about a lot more than IMUS.
As it has been widely pointed out, IMUS has been visited by presidents, senators, important authors, and journalists all across the political spectrum. Is flourishing a culture that permits a certain level of objectionable expression that hurts and demeans a wide stream off the air. I believe we've taken an important, necessary step, not just in solving a unique problem, but in changing that culture, which extends far beyond the walls of this company. I want to thank all of those who came to see us and expressed their views. We are now presented with a significant opportunity to expand on our record of issues of diversity, race, and gender. We intend to seize that opportunity as we move forward together. That message from Les Moonves, CBS, just came out a moment ago.
So there you go. Breaking news from the CBS News Department with Tim Riley. Take a break. We'll come back after this. 503-733-2970 and your phone calls. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Stay there.